In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This passage that we're hearing from the Gospel according to Luke follows shortly after, well, almost directly after, the event on the walk to Emmaus, which you may be familiar with. I want to point out, in the midst of that walk, of course, they were hearing from Jesus, whom they were not quite yet aware was Jesus, and they were remembering after they discovered this and he went away from them. He says, and it pushes back, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? It would seem that this is a part of Jesus's process in his new risen form, and he is now appearing to his disciples still up in the room. And as he appeared, obviously he startled them. It says that very specifically. They were startled and terrified. And why wouldn't you be? And here is this concept. Although they had been hearing about it in his teachings, and they have read about it, and they were proclaiming him the Messiah, and they knew the words of the prophets, and he was fitting the mold, yet when he reappeared after his crucifixion and his death and being put into the tomb, it startled them. And I think that's a reasonable response. And he continued with, why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? And then he shows, you know, look at my hands, look at my feet. He starts to show them, yes, this is it. This is a bodily resurrection that the prophets said I would have, and here I am. Even to the point where he says, what do you have to eat? Because, they think they're seeing things, so to speak, maybe a ghost, perhaps. And, if I eat, then maybe they'll catch on that this is my body. I was going to pull a clip from Casper, the Friendly Ghost, the movie, and show it to you. I don't know if you saw that movie, the newer one. And the other ghosts come in and are just eating all the food, and Casper's under the table sweeping it all up as it just goes right through them. And I thought, well, they may not think that's funny. So I didn't do it. Maybe for a 10:30 you can pull that up, Jeff. But either way, he's just trying to prove that the scriptures are accurate. He's trying to show them that he is who he is, and he has been resurrected from the dead. And they're sort of catching on. And then he does exactly what he did on the road to Emmaus. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. He is opening the scripture. And that is what Jesus still does for us these days as we continue to seek our relationship with him and our complete and total restoration in our relationship with God. Where we find that is in scripture. We find it in scripture, and it is in seeking his word that we discover what we should be doing and how we could be moving. And then we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe it? Just like the disciples were probably asking themselves on this day, is this really happening? Is it really happening? So I have to say the beautiful thing about this Easter season is we seem to understand it differently. And as we hear Jesus had opened the scriptures to his disciples, and we sit in this Easter season, there is also this really wonderful piece in this scripture that's coming up. But before I read this final verse that I want to really preach to you about, I want to reflect on the Easter season just for a second. And I want you to reflect on it just for a second. And the fun cue that we always know that we're in Easter season, or we're at a funeral, is someone like myself stands before you and says, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Have you ever thought about what you're really saying? We sound as crazy as these people when they came out of that room to the world. They came down there and said, no, Jesus came and visited us in the upper room. He ate fish. And everybody went, sure he did. But they continued to proclaim it anyway. They continued to proclaim that he was the Messiah, as it was written in the prophets and by the prophets and in the Psalms. He was the one who came to reconcile us to God with his very body and blood, the one who came to suffer, as it says. Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Oh. So when I say, hallelujah, Christ is risen, and you say, are you sure? You sure you want to say that? Because when you say that, brothers and sisters, you are aligning yourself with those who believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen? When we listen to what Jesus is saying as he's opening the scriptures to his disciples today, he is opening them to us also. So when we proclaim that, we cannot ignore verse 47. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. When you proclaim Jesus as the risen Lord, you are signed to a plan that requires a battery. How's that? All the AV folks are going, oh, he broke another microphone. Just a battery. So where was I? Y'all were signing up. I say, hallelujah, Christ is risen. You say, the Lord is risen indeed, hallelujah. So you're just as crazy as the disciples in the first century, and you believe that you have a risen Lord, Jesus Christ. And if we believe that to be true, and if this took place on our behalf so that our sins may be forgiven and we can be reconciled to God, we're actually signing up for something. See, that's really the glory of the Easter season, is we are constantly proclaiming who we are and whose we are. And I want to say again, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. That's our job. As the church, that's what we do. Everyone thinks that's my job. My job is to tell you it's your job, and then your job is to go tell the world. That's how the system works. Well, that's how it should work. So that's where we start to get a little nervous, right? Yeah, maybe I'm not the guy to do that. Maybe I'm not the one who knows that or understands that. But the fact of the matter is you actually do know. And that in this process of coming through pandemic as a church, or living in still, we're, you know, who knows where we are in it. Nobody seems to know for sure. But so the leadership, this is our constant conversation, right? Because one thing we've noticed is some people have come back. Some people can't come back yet because of various health reasons. And some people are back to life in general, but not so much back to church because we're not sure what to do. We're not sure if we're safe. We're not sure how to behave. Sometimes we've just changed our pattern of life, and church wasn't a part of it for so long. We just took it out of our pattern of life. And so the leadership of Holy Innocence is constantly having this conversation. How do we help people understand? How do we give hope in this world that has been struggling for over a year in a way that most of us have never experienced? And so we're all these ideas flying around all the time. And it occurred to me as I was reading this, verse 47, there is really only one idea: to proclaim the good news that sins have been forgiven through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and it should be preached to all people, to all nations across the world. So if we're wondering, what is this thing that we could be doing as the church that will bring us to a place of life and vigor, that's what it is. That is absolutely what it is. When we enter this Easter season, all we talk about is Jesus, the risen Lord. It's time to reach into the next phase, and let's let the preaching of this good news flow. It's already flowed out of Jerusalem. I mean, it made it all the way here to Valrico. But it's been given to the church. Those who proclaim Jesus as the risen Lord now have this job, have this role, have this opportunity to join in the sharing of this good news through the power of the Holy Spirit within you. I know it's not Pentecost yet, but it's still in you. We don't have to wait for it for that one time every year. That's just a reminder. To do this work of the church. And you may say, well, why would we do that? Well, look around you. Anybody see anybody else hurting in the world? Anybody see a hurting world? Are we seeing things that we think we're somehow going to come up with laws to fix that we know in our hearts that no law will ever fix? Because laws can't fix broken hearts, can they? No. Just like the law given in to the Israelites was set to help set them apart, it didn't cure their hearts. That's why they spent 40 years in the desert. What cured their hearts was engaging with their heart in a direct connection with their God. We have a world that has broken, damaged hearts, that keeps lashing out at itself, people lashing out at one another in ways that are just unheard of. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, what's the solution? And brothers and sisters, we can come up with laws and fill this room with them, couldn't we? In fact, we have, haven't we? But it hasn't fixed it, has it? No, it hasn't, clearly. Turn the news on. If we want to see the world transformed, the world needs transforming news, doesn't it? It needs to know that the truth is in Jesus Christ. Their forgiveness of their sins, their brokenness, their pain, and their sorrow was taken away by its very body and blood. Amen? Just as mine was, and just as yours was. And we know that, don't we? We know this news. We have had our experience with it in some way, or beginning to have an experience with it in some way, or you wouldn't be sitting here right now, in whatever form you're sitting here, whether you're in this building or online. Something's happened, hasn't it? And I bet it changed you. That same message that you have taken into your heart will change the world also. Brothers and sisters, this time of Easter, when the whole world has just been reminded of Jesus as the risen Lord, opportunity awaits the church. We have the opportunity. And brothers and sisters, if you're wondering what we can do to help others understand, to get other people to remember the church exists and to re-engage in the church, there is only one thing. There has always ever only been one thing, and that is to share the witness, your witness to the truth of a risen Lord, Jesus Christ, that has reconciled you to God, changed your heart. It's in a world filled with lost and broken people who need a Savior. This is no time for the saved to be lost. Amen.